Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
Today we have something very special in the life of our church. If you're new to our church or if this is your first time here, today we're doing something a little different. Today we're having something that we call small talks. It's a special Sunday where you won't be hearing from me. But we have members of our Hillside Church family sharing some things that God has given them to share. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is writing to this new church, this brand new first generation church, one of the first churches that has ever existed on the face of the earth. He's writing to them about how they should be doing church. As they're learning and growing and as they're doing church together, they're doing some things great and they're doing some things not so great. And so the Apostle Paul writes to them and says, I just want to give you some guidance on how to do church. And he's writing to them specifically about the gifts that they have, the gifts that they can use in the church. And he spends a long time talking to them about speaking in tongues. And what speaking in tongues is it's a gift from God to speak in a different language. But in chapter 14, he transitions, after talking about the gift of speaking in tongues, he will transition in verse 5. He will say, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Paul says that as great as the gifts of God are, the gift that I would rather you have the most is the gift to prophesy. And really what we're talking about in this context of prophecy, see, that's a word that can carry lots of baggage for lots of people. We just talked about speaking in tongues, if you want to talk about lots of baggage for lots of people. But here Paul talks about prophecy. And what we can sometimes think of when we think of prophecy is like this amazing clairvoyant picture into the future. That if we're going to prophesy, what we need to say is, on Thursday at 11:37 a.m., you're going to meet a man named Frank. Frank's going to be wearing a red shirt. When you meet Frank, what you need to go to him is and tell him that the black crow flies at night. Like we can sometimes think that this idea of prophecy is this mysterious future prediction that God has. But that's not what Paul's talking about here, and that's not really what the Bible is speaking about when it speaks of prophecy. Instead, what the Bible is speaking about is this idea that God speaks to you, and sometimes when God speaks to you, God speaks to you for someone else. And so the gift of prophecy is the ability to hear God's voice, to understand what God is saying, and to be faithful to share it with someone else. And so this morning, as we have these members of our Hillside Church come and share with us, really what they're doing is they're prophesying. They're doing the thing that Paul says, I wish all of you would do this. See, Paul doesn't say, sit quietly and listen to your pastor. Paul doesn't say, God's only gifted one person to hear from God for you. So you need to just be quiet and listen to the pastor. No, Paul says, all of us can hear from God. Every one of us has the ability to hear from God. And so today we're going to see that happen. As we have six people from our church, none of the pastoral staff, not me, not Matt, not Lori, none of us are going to be sharing with you this morning. But instead, we're going to have six people from our church prophesying, sharing what it is that God says to them. But it's more than that. In Psalm 145, verse 4, we read this. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. Today we have the very special opportunity to have one generation speak to all the others. As today, we've got six students from our youth ministry that are going to be speaking to us. We believe as a church that our kids, that our youth, they're not the church of tomorrow waiting in the wings for us to get out of the way. We believe that they're the church of today. That when the Bible says that your young men will dream dreams, that your young women will have the Spirit of God poured out on them, that we really believe that God meant that. And we believe that God can speak through the oldest of us. We believe that God can speak through the middle-agedest of us. And we believe that God can speak through the youngest of us. And so today we're excited as we're going to have six students come and share with us what God has been speaking to them to share with us. So let's take a moment to pray for them as they come. Father God, we thank you that you speak to all of us. God, that there's not a select few of us, that there's not somehow just a small group of entitled, privileged ones that you will speak to, but God, you speak to each one of our lives. And God, we pray for each one of these young people as they come to share with us today. God, would you calm their nerves? Would you help them to be able to have clarity of thought and clarity of mind? Would you help them to be able to speak the words that you've given them to speak? And God, I pray that we would be good ground. God, I pray against any spirit in our hearts or in our lives that might say, they're teenagers, what do they have to teach me? But God, I pray that you would help us to be able to hear the very voice of God speaking to us through them. God, I thank you that you have given us this opportunity. And God, we thank you that you're going to minister to us through the lives of these young people. In your name we pray. Amen.
My name is Walter Adekunle, and I am talking about being hopeful. I was growing up back in Nunavut without my biological parents present in my life. I lived with my verbal adopted mom and dad, where there are a lot of unspeakables. I got apprehended by social workers so many times that I've lost count. I've lived in almost 12 to 14 foster homes over the years. During these years, I would be very jealous of my friends at school and in the community. Friends with both parents or one parent present at least in their lives. In all these years, I was still very hopeful. I didn't know how to pray then like I do now, but I was super hopeful. I was always hoping that at least one day, someone would fall from heaven and tell me that they loved me. But days, weeks, months, and years passed by, but there was no one. One day, I was walking home, and one of my foster parents called me and told me to go to my social worker's office. And that's when God showed up and placed me in a home where they were not complete without me. A kind of home that I've always been dreaming of. A home where I will finally be loved. A home where I don't just be a son, but a brother to my brothers and a brother to my sister. I finally get to argue with my siblings like a normal child and fight with them on video games. Who is right and who is wrong? Picking a seat in the car first. A home where I got baptized and finally met Jesus. I can finally stand up for my brothers inside the bus and at school when someone is trying to bully them. Now is not a dream anymore. It is reality. It is not by accident, church. It was designed by my Creator for me to pass through all these so that I can give hope to the hopeless now and in the future. Amen. I just want to say this to you, church. If God can make my home, my hope and dream come reality, God can also make yours reality. What does Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 say? It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I know many children like me are facing a lot today. We are fighting our identity and peer pressure. Sometimes we are completely lost in the world. But here's the good news. Please relax, because God is in control. He knows the plan he has for us. His plan is for us to prosper. He will never harm us. Let us do our part and leave the rest to God. Don't just hope and dream alone as I used to do. Add the third piece that I was missing. You should hope, dream, and back it up with prayers. And God will surely make your hope become reality. Because with God, everything is possible. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Jacob Cloutier, and today I will be sharing my three favorite verses and what they mean to me. And by the way, you will hear a lot about basketball. So the first verse is Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I like this verse because it reminds us that through tough times, God is on our side, and he will give you the strength you need to succeed. When I read this verse, I feel encouraged and confident in myself. A time when I connected to this verse is actually right now. It's pretty nerve-wracking to speak in front of the whole church. When Pastor Brad first asked me to do this, I was pretty nervous, but I prayed and asked God to give me the strength to speak in front of the church. Another example is before most basketball games, I get nervous, but I think about the verse. When I think about the verse, I feel encouraged and confident rather than scared or nervous. The next verse is Proverbs 13, verse 16. Wise people think before they act, fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. When I was younger, my dad made me and my brother memorize this verse because it teaches us to think before we do something and to think about if the outcome will be good or bad. It's easy not to think before we do something, and those decisions are often bad. That's why I believe that we should think before we act. That's why I believe that we should all memorize this verse, because the average adult makes about 33 to 35,000 decisions a day. So if we think before we act, the outcome of our decisions will be much better. An example from my life is when I'm on the basketball court. I have to think before I do something, because if I don't, I can cause a turnover, a bad shot, or make my team lose. Last but not least, Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue can bring life or death. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. This verse is related to the second verse because my brother and I also had to memorize this verse. But it is also related because we need to think before we speak, and words can be pretty hurtful. The verse says that people who love to talk will reap the consequences, and those people often don't think and just speak, which leads to trouble or saying hurtful words. That's why it's important for us to think before we speak and bring words of life rather than words of death. When I'm playing basketball, I usually have about 10 other teammates, so it's important for me to encourage them rather than discourage them or put them down, because the teams who are usually the best have a good morale. In conclusion, these verses taught me that we can do anything if we ask for God's help, to think before we do things, and that our words can bring life or death. Thank you.
Old. First, I want to say thank you, Pastor Brad, for this opportunity. Let me share the word of God. Today, I'll be talking about putting our faith in God. 3 weeks ago, my family and I traveled to Jamaica. Switching planes from Alberta to Toronto to Jamaica, none of us were asking all the pilots for their certificates or qualification or ability to take us to our final destination safely. My dad taught me how to drive. And now I'm driving. But wait, I totally forgot to ask him for his driver's license is valid, or if he has his driver instruction license. But I trust him enough to be able to teach me how to drive. In today's word, we tend to question God if we can trust him. We question his ability to provide for us. We question his ability to protect us or keep us safe, or if he can actually heal us. In Matthew 14, verse 17 to 19, and John 6, verse 1 to 4, Jesus wanted the disciples to feed a large crowd. They said it would be impossible, but a boy with them had 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then Jesus gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to people. If Jesus can provide food for thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, he can always provide for us. We learn from the 3 Hebrew men in the book of Daniel 3, verse 16 to 18, they were thrown into the fire because of their faithfulness to God. King Nebuchadnezzar came to witness their execution, but was stunned to see not 3 of them, but 4 men. God became the 4th one in the fire to save them. If by touching Jesus' garment may the woman with blood issue heal, God can definitely heal us. If God can call out Lazarus after death, God can call every dead thing in our life and bring it back to life again. If our God can look at the storm and tell the storm to be calm and still, God can tell every storm in our lives to be calm and still. I am here to assure all of us, especially the youth, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has done it before, and he's doing it now. He will forever be our Savior, our protector, our provider, and our healer. He is our all in all, and we don't need to question his ability. My dad is a human, our bus drivers are human, the pilots are human, and doctors are human. They can always make mistakes because of human errors. And that's why we experience vehicle accidents, plane crashes, bus accidents, and so on. God will always be God. God doesn't make mistakes. Let us learn how to put our hope, our trust, our faith in him, and him alone.
My name is Hannah, and I am 16 years old. Some of my hobbies include being an avid reader, creative writing, and acting on stage, the last point being a main part of my short talk. Theater has been a part of my life since I was young. I've been inspired by the performing arts with every show I've been to, whether it was a community production of The Music Man or The Mousetrap, or even driving 8 hours to Spokane just to see the Broadway tour of My Fair Lady. When I was asked how long I've been doing creative arts for, I couldn't think of an answer. I think that must be because the arts have just always been a part of my life, and even in my parents' lives before I was born, and their enjoyment of it has passed on to me. I'm happy to say that it is one of my biggest passions. When I started writing this, I wanted to share how God helped me with my passion in acting. And he has. I pray before every performance I do, and I ask him to calm my nerves. But as I was trying to figure out what to say, I realized that I've been leaving God in the ensemble. I hadn't been giving him credit for my skills, and it was hard for me to remember to thank him after my performances. Middle school is really when I started pursuing theater. I'd always liked performing, but I never had a proper place to practice, except in our basement with my sister. So when the chance to be part of an actual drama program arrived, I was excited to join, and I've had it as a class in school every year since. Along with these, I was able to take drama classes and do summer programs outside of school to strengthen my skills. Throughout both of those, I connected with friends, and I still talk with some of them now. Then in 9th grade, I auditioned for my school play, Alice in Wonderland. It was my first ever audition, and I felt quite sure I was going to get a part. I hoped to get the role of the Dormouse, or at least a background character. Unfortunately, I didn't get any role, and I had to learn how to deal with that. But, like my mom reminds me, if God says no, maybe something better is on his way. In hindsight, I can see that this was a better path for me than getting a part in the play, because over the days of the show, a new friend and I hung out to celebrate my birthday, something I wouldn't have been able to do if I was in the performance. This last year, I auditioned for the play again, This time, it was Macbeth. Even though it is one of Shakespeare's more tragic plays, it was a wonderful experience connecting with friends I already had, meeting new people, making jokes, and just having a great time with the cast. I even encouraged the same friend, who is usually pretty quiet, to audition with me. We both got parts, and I feel that the show helped grow our friendship. Now, I'm continuing to do theater next year in school and possibly outside of it, but I will do my best to correct my forgetfulness from previous years and remember to pray before and thank God after my shows. A continual reminder for me is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And because of this, I'm thankful that I have the strength and confidence from God and my experience with performing. So when I was approached to share with you, I was not nervous, but excited to get up and speak about this on stage today. If God chooses to lead me down this path, I am hoping to take the library technician program at SAIT to hopefully get a job in a school and help out with the drama programs there. I am currently exploring creative writing in school, and along with that and my passion for the arts, I hope God will use me for something along these lines. Thank you for listening to me, and that's McHugh.
Everyone, my name is Gianna, and today I will be speaking about how God answered my prayer. So this year, I found myself in a situation that many of us have experienced, a time of uncertainty and waiting. I began my summer job search in April, full of hope and expectation, eager to gain experience that would bring me closer to my dream of becoming a pediatrician. However, as the days turned into weeks and weeks into months, I began to feel discouraged. I applied to numerous positions, yet no one was reaching out to me. The silence was deafening and doubt started to creep in. I wondered if I would end up spending the entire summer without any work experience, missing out on opportunities that could shape my future. But during this time, I clung to prayer. I kept lifting my desires and concerns to God, believing deep down that he had a plan for me, even when I couldn't see it. I reminded myself of the promises in Scripture, particularly in Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This verse became my anchor, reminding me to hold on to faith, no matter how silent or slow the process seemed. Then just as I was beginning to lose hope, something incredible happened. Something that only God could orchestrate. In July, out of the blue, my mom received a call from a member of this very church. They asked her to have me send my resume in for a job opportunity. I can't even begin to describe the joy and relief I felt. It was as if God had begun preparing this blessing for me all along, waiting for the perfect time to reveal it. The job I was offered wasn't just any job. It was in a field related to my dream of becoming a pediatrician. I was overwhelmed with gratitude, not only because I was gaining valuable experience, but because I could see how God was aligning everything with the calling he placed on my heart from a young age. I wasn't just stepping into a summer job. I was stepping into an answered prayer, living proof of God's faithfulness. This experience has been more than just a job. It has opened my eyes to the challenges and triumphs of those living with disabilities. I learned how disabilities affect people in different ways, and this understanding has made me more compassionate, more aware, and more committed to serving others. The members of the team I worked with this summer weren't just colleagues. They were mentors, teaching me to see life from new perspectives and helping me grow as a person. Every day was a lesson in empathy, patience, and grace. Reflecting on this journey, I'm reminded of another powerful verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is the promise we must hold on to. When doors seem closed and prayers seem unanswered, God is working behind the scenes. His plans are always for our good, even when they are hidden from us. To everyone here today, I want to encourage you, Trust in God's timing. Just because your prayer hasn't been answered yet doesn't mean it won't be. Amen. Delay does not mean denied. God hears every prayer, and he is faithful to answer in his perfect timing. When you feel like giving up, remember that God's plans are greater than anything you can imagine. His love for you is unwavering, and his plans are to give you hope and a future. So keep praying, keep believing, and keep trusting. Your breakthrough is on the way. God has a bigger plan than you can see right now, and when the time is right, he will reveal it in ways that will leave you in awe. I am standing here today as a testimony to his goodness, his faithfulness, and his perfect timing. May this testimony fill you with hope and strengthen your faith, always trusting God, for he is the author of your story, and he is writing something beautiful for your life. Thank you.
Hello, church. My name is Alex, for those who don't know me, and I am 14 years old. My story starts when I came into this world. I grew up in a family with strong values and heard many stories I learned later were from the Bible. My first time I stepped into a church was at my cousin's baptism. I could feel in that moment that Jesus was with me. Then, in April of 2023, my dad went to a men's brunch held by a church. He came home and said that he was overwhelmed with so much love and acceptance, and that we should all start going to church. That day, I knew that God was making his way into our family. I started going to church consistently, and I felt like I heard God's voice speaking to me. I gave my life to Jesus on October 22nd, 2023, that same year. I was baptized with my brother and my dad, mom and dad. Some of my favorite verses are Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I like this verse because it just makes me feel happy knowing that God will always be with me even through the darkest times. Another verse I like is Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. I like this verse because it reminds me that if you put in the work behind everyone else when no one's looking, God will be there and he will push you up. I also like Micah chapter 7, verse 7. As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I like this verse because it reminds me that Jesus is there. Another one, which I say before games, is Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All these verses are connected because it shows that God, no matter your situation, will always be with you, and that if you just put in that work, you will walk through the other side unfazed. But for some knowledge that I have to share with the younger generation here are some things you can do to strengthen your bond with God. Number one, read your Bible. Number two, pray outside or in your room. Worship the Lord. And yes, there is Christian rap for you guys. Keep coming to church and connecting with friends and come to youth events. Never live in shame, and remember that Jesus' love and grace is everlasting, and that he will just always be with you. That's it for me, folks.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.